Regular Town Board Meeting, January 12th, 2021, at 7 p.m.
Yeah, so we're going to get started just some housekeeping. When we get to item on the agenda, which is number 9, U.S. Light Energy, we will have some back and forth discussion with representatives from U.S. Light Energy, and we will ask and invite you to participate at that time on the agenda. All right, I'd like to welcome everyone to a regular Monroe Town Board meeting for January 12, 2021, and ask the Deputy Clerk to call the roll.
Councilmember Hogan?
Here.
Councilmember Noonan?
Here.
Councilmember Donahue?
Here.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Here.
And if everyone would please rise for a minute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. First order of business, I want to let everyone know that we are able to conduct this meeting virtually as a result of the governor extending Executive Order 202.87, which permits governing bodies to conduct business in this fashion. First order of business is the approval minutes. We have three sets, two from December 22nd, one is the regular town board meeting, the other is the audit meeting, and then the third set is from January 4th, 2021, which is the organizational meeting. We can take those together or separately, whatever the board's pleasure it is.
I'm fine with taking them all at the same time. Then, I'd like to make a motion to approve the regular town board meeting minutes from December 22nd, 2020, the audit meeting minutes from December 22nd, 2020, and the organizational meeting minutes from January 4th, 2021.
Second.
Hearing moved and seconded. Any discussion, corrections? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Yes. Opposed? Those minutes are approved unanimously. Thank you. Number 2 on the agenda is set future meetings and workshops. I do not have any at this time. Do any board members have any?
No.
Nope.
All right. Number 3, just to provide a brief update on COVID. Actually, before we get to that, I should probably announce that I had the very good fortune at the Saratoga County organizational meeting that was held on January 6th to be elected chairman of the Board of Supervisors for Saratoga County. And at that meeting, during my acceptance remarks, I committed to make COVID the centerpiece of COVID response, I should say, the centerpiece of the primary program for Saratoga County in 2021. I committed to providing regular updates to our county residents, similar to what I've been doing all along here in the town of Monroe, and also committed to being making elected officials and leadership of the county more accessible to the press and the public. And we're off to a good start. We conducted our second press conference today. It's the lead story, I think, on the local networks here for 6 p.m. So we appreciate that coverage. And at that time, I provided an update on county numbers, which I'm happy to do here as well. And just provide an overview of what we discussed today. With today's press conference, we provided an update on our vaccination efforts here countywide, and we outlined plans for a large-scale vaccination location. And we're very pleased that we were able to work out arrangements with representatives from the Saratoga County City Center, which has the ability to do meets all the requirements for vaccination point of distribution site, and that includes being able to store vaccinations overnight, proper security, necessary like showers and things like that for those that are involved in providing the vaccinations. So we have the capability, once the vaccines do become available in mass quantities in Saratoga County, to be able to do that at the city center. So I want to thank my my colleagues, Supervisor Tara Gaston and Matt Beach from the City of Saratoga Springs, who worked with representatives of the city center to allow us to secure that site for that purpose. The other point, which is very critical, we have approximately a dozen and a half sites around the county where they've already been identified. They were identified years ago. There have been drills that have been conducted periodically that allow us to do PODs at those locations to better serve the county residents. And once we have our volumes of vaccines available where we can disperse them at that rate, they will be opening up. And I have to thank the sheriff. He's committed. He and his staff are committed to assisting us in any way that we need it, particularly with vaccine transportation, security at these sites. Maybe we don't realize it requires that these areas be swept by dogs for security reasons. And I want to thank Sheriff Michael Zerlo for his willingness to help us in that effort. The numbers from the county that I relayed today as of close of business yesterday, the total number of cases, COVID-19 cases in the county currently stands today at 7,769. I can tell you that, unfortunately, that's an increase of 653 over the past 5 days. Sadly, the number of individuals that have lost their lives to COVID-19 now is at 53 countywide. On a brighter note, we've seen 4,332 residents recover. Presently, there's 3,384 active cases in the county. We know that of those cases, 76 individuals are currently hospitalized. The seven-day rolling average positivity rate is currently 10.2%. And finally, the total number of individuals that have been tested numbers 256,236. The good news is we continue to provide vaccination at the Saratoga County Public Safety Building over by the fairgrounds, and our public health department has been doing yeoman work, and under very challenging circumstances, working whatever hours it takes to get the vaccine dispensed on a given day. And as a result of their hard work and efforts, we know that to date, 9,600 residents in Saratoga County have been vaccinated with at least one dose, and we know that 600 individuals have been vaccinated with the required second dose. So what that means countywide is that 4.5% of our county residents have received either full or some vaccine immunity through our efforts. So I have to commend the county staff for all they're doing in this battle to protect county residents from COVID-19. Here a little closer to home, in the town of Monroe, we have total number of cases is 309. Deaths to date is at 3. Number of active cases is at 164. And those that have recovered stands at 142. In the village of Southlands Falls, the total number of confirmed cases stands at 86. Number of deaths there is at zero. There's currently 28 active cases, and the total number of recovered individuals stands at 58. So that's the COVID update. And a thumbnail sketch in real time. Number four on the agenda this evening is I have listed as a discussion on SOAR. More specifically, it's the opportunity for a community development block grant. This is something that the board committed to at the beginning of this project. We committed to doing all we could to secure any available grants that may become available through this process. We had a proposal that was presented to the town, I think back in September, which our engineer was willing to work on our behalf to apply for a community development block grant. I think board members have a copy of the proposal before them, which is essentially the same proposal that's from dated September 30th, 2020. And this would be a funding opportunity of a maximum of $1.25 million. The state has just announced the opening of acceptance for applications for that funding, and I would very much like the board to approve our town engineer for the sewer project, their proposal of going after that grant. The grant application would be $8,000 plus expenses for the community development block grant application, and then the environmental review record would be an additional $5,000 plus expenses. So that would be what I deem a small investment and an opportunity at $1.25 million. Mm-hmm. Does anybody have any questions on the proposal that was originally presented in September? And our engineer is looking for town board action now.
I am in favor of this. As proposed, I guess.
Yeah, this was something that when we were made aware of it, we had put it on hold because the funding round hadn't been announced yet. So we had considered it in 2020. There was no need to act on it until that funding became available. It is now available. So, now's the time to act if we want to.
Yeah, no, I think we've got to spend a lot of time on it, but I know I certainly think it takes the chance at spending that money at the grant for this project, for sure. But we also have to be in new situations that put us in a position, right, to be able to be more favorable to win that. So.
And, you know, if we do secure this level of funding, that has an enormous impact on the overall cost of the sewer project. As you know, it was originally a $16 million project. We re-engineered it to drop the cost to reduce it by $1.2 million. Things go according to plan by doing a low pressure system. And now we have the opportunity here to receive additional funding to drop the projected cost per property owners even further.
I'm in favor of proceeding with this.
Likewise, for exact reason you stated, I'd like to get the cost of the people in the district down as far as we can get it. I think this is a minimal investment that you might be able to get some maximum bang for our buck. So, and I'm all for it.
Okay, great. So at this time, I would entertain a motion to authorize the town supervisor to sign the engagement letter, which you have before you, for purpose of professional grant writing services as provided on September 3rd, 2020 by the LaBerge Group.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. That's very good. Next item is number 5, Highway Department requests. First one I have is from our Highway Superintendent to, I believe, open a PO for rock salt for the 2021 budget year. This is a circular contract price, Saratoga County contract price. The supplier is Morton Salt, Palatine, Illinois. Paul would like to open it in the amount of $80,000. This would come from account DB 5142.490, which has a current balance of $175,000 as of January 1 of this year. And again, this is Saratoga County contract number 20-PWS-10R.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Second request is for gasoline. Highway Superintendent, excuse me, would like to open a PO in the amount of $15,000. Again, the vendor is on state contract, I'm sorry. And it's Global Montel Group Corporation, Walden, Massachusetts. And this would come from account DB 5142.460, which has a current balance of $65,000 as of January 1, 2021. The state contract number is PC 68456.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. And the third request from the Highway Superintendent is for diesel fuel purchase order in an amount of $25,000. This is a state contract vendor, Sprague Operating Resources out of Portsmouth, New Hampshire. This would come from account DB 5142.460, which has a current balance of less than $65,000. Well, no, it is $65,000, but again, I want to draw your attention to the fact that previous motion will be drawing $15,000 from that $65,000 already. State contract number is PC 68214.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Yes.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next request is for additional approval for additional staffing at our recreation department from our rec leader. Specifically, this is, he's looking for help with our ice rink down there, and he is recommending the rehiring Miles Hogan and John Millington, which have, both individuals have worked at the park previously, and by hiring these individuals part-time, it would allow for skating, sledding under the lights when conditions present themselves, and he anticipates that they'd be working approximately 48 hours per week, depending on the weather, and that they would be paid the amount established at the organizational meeting of $12.50 per hour.
So,
question.
Any discussion?
Only that I need to abstain from Miles, who is my son.
So, will the record reflect that Council Member Hogan will be abstaining on the vote? So, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries with one abstention.
Was there anything else in the record?
I don't have one.
Not in my knowledge.
Okay. Item 7 on the agenda is in relation to the assessor's office. Charlie, do you want to talk real briefly about that resolution?
Yes, I can. The legislature at the end of December adopted the COVID-19 Emergency Eviction and Foreclosure Prevention Act of 2020. And within that act, it determined that real property tax law exemptions for senior citizens and certain disability real property tax exemptions. Usually you have to renew those annually, but because of COVID and because it's a vulnerable population, the state legislature decided that for the 2021 year, the 2020 exemption could apply without a renewal. However, within the law itself, it also gave the governing body, you folks, the ability to authorize the assessor to mail out or electronically mail out annual renewals in the event she believes that it's necessary to do so because the exemption should go away. For example, if the individual who received the exemption had passed away, if the individual who received the exemption had moved. If she has that information, she can send out the application, and if they no longer are available, then they don't get the exemption. So what this does is this resolution before you allows her to basically do her job and to remove from the rolls any eligible properties that really are not eligible anymore. But it also allows those folks that do have their exemption from last year to just maintain it again for another year without having to come to town hall and to present their case to renew it. Because the taxable status date is March 1st and all your tax exemption forms have to be in by March 1st, it's important that the board adopt this resolution fairly quickly.
So we have a resolution prepared in relation to senior citizen property tax exemption. 2021. If the board is in agreement, I'll ask the deputy clerk to read it with the record. We can discuss it if you'd like.
Okay. Whereas on December 28, 2020, the New York State Legislature adopted the COVID-19 Emergency Eviction and Foreclosure Prevention Act of 2020. Which, among other things, authorized every governing body of an assessing unit and local assessor to extend to the 2021 assessment roll the renewal of the RPTL 467 exemption relating to persons age 65 and older received on the 2020 assessment roll without the requirement of a renewal application. And whereas the Act further provides that the assessor shall make available renewal applications through postal mail or electronic means to eligible recipients in the event eligible recipients determine that his or her income has changed in a manner that would grant him or her greater exemption than what was present in the 2020 assessment roll. And whereas the Act further provides that the governing body may adopt a resolution which includes procedures by which the assessor may require a renewal application to be filed when he or she has reason to believe that the owner qualified for the exemption on the 2020 assessment roll may have since changed his or her primary residence, added another owner to the deed, transferred the property to a new owner, or died. And whereas the town board of the town of Moreau, as the governing body of the town, desires to provide the assessor with the authority to require such a renewal application solely for the reasons identified above, now therefore be it resolved that the assessor of the town of Moreau has the authority to require a renewal application to be filed when she has reason to believe that an owner who has qualified for the exemption on the 2020 assessment roll may have since changed his or her primary address, added another owner to the deed, transferred the property to a new owner, or died, and be it further resolved that in the event the assessor believes a renewal application is required to be filed as indicated above, she shall send the renewal application through the postal mail or electronic means if applicable, and be it further resolved that the eligible recipients are not required to appear in person to file a renewal application.
Thank you, Jill. And again, this is at the request of our assessor and better assist her in doing her job. So, I think it's something that we should move forward with. So, how would you like to move that?
I'll move it. So, we accept this resolution for seniors as a property tax exemption 2021.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Should be happy about that. I'm going to take care of that for some time. Number eight on the agenda is the Moreau Industrial Park, and I think board members have a copy of some paperwork on that. We, as expressed over the past several months, our interest in the industrial park is dramatically picking up. One of the things we need to do is we have to establish what the town is willing to sell our lots at. And for many different reasons, we have to do that appropriately. And to do that appropriately, it requires appraisals being conducted so that we can establish a price on the various lots that are in there. I asked the town assessor to secure some appraisals. She did that for us. And the first one that I have is from Empire State Appraisal Consultants from Kinderhook, New York. And they basically, I'll read their letter very brief, says, "Dear Leah, for your request, we are pleased to submit this fee proposal to provide real estate valuation services for 13 land parcels in the park totaling 68.32 acres. We propose to prepare an appraisal report encompassing all the parcels with a discrete value for each for a total fee of $6,800. General assumptions may include that all parcels have access to the public utilities and roadways. Our report will be prepared in accordance with the uniform standards of professional appraisal practices as promulgated by the Appraisal Foundation. If you have any questions regarding the proposal, do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you for the opportunity to be in service to the town of Moreau. Very truly yours, ESAC Appraisers Consultants, Stephen R. Clark." The next one that we received is from Integrated Valuation Real Estate Appraisers and Consultants, located in Clifton Park. And it's a little more detailed. If you'd like, I can read that into the record. I will not list out all the parcels that are included in the proposal, but essentially it says, "Dear Assessor Cronin, it is my understanding you're requesting a fee quote for restricted appraisals of the properties referenced below." We should note that all the parcels were provided to those that were interested in submitting the proposals, or apples to apples. The intended use of the appraisals is to render an opinion of the market value of the property to assist the client with internal business decisions related to an actual or potential sale. Client intended user is the town of Moreau. The market value inclusion will be reflective of the current as is market value of the fee simple interest in real property. Briefly described, the subject properties consist of 13 individual parcels of vacant / unimproved land within an existing industrial park. Subject parcels range in size from 0.82 acres to 18.64 acres. The analysis, opinions, and conclusions will be developed based on, and the reports will be prepared in conformance with our interpretation of the guidelines and recommendations supporting the uniform standards of professional appraisal practice. Furthermore, the report will be prepared in conformance with our interpretation of requirements of the Code of Professional Ethics and Standards of Professional Appraisal Practice of the Appraisal Institute. Title, 11 Regulations of the Financial Institution Reform, Recovery, and Enforcement Act of 1989, updated in 1994, and further updated by the Interagency Appraisal Evaluation Guidelines of 2010. Based on the overall characteristics of the properties, our market research will entail investigation on a semi-regional basis to facilitate development of the appropriate approach or approaches to value. Our fee for preparation of reports is identified in the following table. It is noted that a bulk discount has been incorporated into the individual fee. Additionally, it is noted that based on our current workload, a turnaround time of approximately 5 to 7 weeks will be required for the completion of the appraisal. However, every effort will be made to deliver reports as soon as possible. And so they've listed out the restricted appraisal fee per parcel. I don't know, is there a total in here?
It's 12,000.
It is 12,000. Mm-hmm. And they further state that the above described scope of work fee, quote, does not include any testimony regarding the appraisals, court hearing appearances, or post completion consultation or preparation. These services are in addition to the above described scope of work and are built for separately at a rate of $350 per hour. Upon completion of our work, we will provide a PDF copy of each report. If hard copies are needed, they will be billed for separately at cost. Payment is considered due on receipt with payment agreed at net 15 terms. If the terms and conditions outlined in this fee proposal are acceptable and integrated valuations, the LLC is authorized to proceed. Please execute this letter and forward it to their email. For your convenience, if you prefer to pay your bill via debit credit card or online ACH, please let me know and I will send you a digital link which you can use to complete the payment online. Thank you for considering integrated valuations LLC for this assignment. We look forward to hearing from you. Respectfully submitted, Todd E. Mulder. And then we have a third proposal from Gar Associates, LLC, which are based in, the corporate office is based in Williamsville, New York. And that's the letter dated December 18th. Dear Ms. Cronin, pursuant to your request, we can prepare a limited scope appraisal report estimating market value of property rights associated with the above referenced properties for a total fee of $10,000. The report will be delivered within 4 weeks from the authorization to proceed. Client is the town of Monroe. The intended use of the appraisal is to estimate current market value for internal asset management purposes. The intended users of the appraisal are the client and any other client authorized users associated with the intended use stated above. Properties entail 13 vacant industrial parcels with a combined area of 68.32 acres located within Monroe Industrial Park. And again, they have those parcels listed. Each parcel will be valued individually according to the highest and best use determination. Note that the aggregate value of the parcel will be less than the sum of the individual parcel due to marketing, time, and associated costs. Attached is our standard engagement contract, which you are to sign and return in order to formally engage us. Information that we will need to order in order to complete the assignment includes the following: any current listing information and confirmation of fire sales within Monroe Industrial Park. Please do not hesitate to contact me if you have any questions pertaining to this proposal, and thank you for considering Gar Associates for your real estate appraisal and consulting needs. Respectfully, Gar Associates, LLC, signed by Ronald Verdino and David M. Barnett. And you only have three on that. So there are the three proposals before you. I think we've got the point where we should probably take action this evening, engaging the services of one of the three. There are three differences in pricing.
So I don't know what the rest of the board thinks, but if I was doing this for myself, I don't see whether, I mean, yes, one of these I'll just say I don't have a problem going with the one that is the lowest proposal on here. Maybe I don't know about appraisals and where that could maybe get us in trouble if anyone on the board knows differently than me. I don't see where we would need to spend $12,000 or even $10,000 if the same product is offered for $6,800. So I would be supportive of Empire State Appraisal Consultants, but again, up for discussion if there's something that I'm not picking up on here, fill me in.
Well, I agree with your characterization.
Okay. Alright.
The town has used all of these appraisers in the past.
Yes.
Okay.
But that's strange.
Alright, so.
I would like to go to the list to get the same product for less money. I'm all for it.
If it's the same product, yes, I agree.
We seem to have an agreement, which is great. At this time, I'd like to make a motion to use Empire State Appraisal Consultants to use as appraisers for our Monroe Industrial Park property.
And to authorize the supervisor to sign a contract.
Second.
Any discussion, further discussion on that? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Okay. It would be great to have that information readily available as we continue to be interested in our park. Now we are at item 9 on the agenda. We have a request from U.S. Light Energy in relation to a solar project that they are proposing in the town of Monroe. It is before the board this evening because they would like to utilize a planned unit development methodology for locating it in the town of Monroe. And I know that we have representatives that are available and would like to speak to the board. Before we do that, does council want to add anything at this time or wait to hear from representatives from U.S. Light Energy?
I can just real briefly, I provided the board with the information on obtaining a PUD in the town of Monroe. Don't know as if any of the board members except the supervisor have been involved in doing a PUD in town. It's a creature of the code, so you have to specifically by the code. I provided a timeline in there. Basically, once the application comes in and it has been determined that it is a sketch plan and meets the requirements of the PUD law, the town board then refers it over to the planning board. The planning board then does all of the planning work, goes through all of the requirements in the PUD, holds a public hearing, facts and conclusions and recommendations over to the town board. The town board then looks at the recommendations and decides whether it wants to move forward. And if it does, then the town board sets a public hearing because you're creating the law. Now, you have a couple of PUDs in the town. Usually PUDs are for residential properties. That's one of the purposes of them. I did send this to Jim Martin and asked him to review it as your zoning administrator. I think you saw maybe an email from him with his staff notes on that. My understanding is that he has reviewed this and it meets the sketch plan portions of this. So after the individual from U.S. Light Energy speaks and you can ask any questions you want, the board would have to refer this over to the planning board for review at its next meeting. That being said, its next meeting is extremely heavy with applications because of all the development, single-family home development that is occurring in the town. Mm-hmm. So it's likely it won't be heard until the February meeting, and I confirmed that with Jim, and then they do a public hearing then. So this is a months-long process, just so the board is aware. And the property that they're located is in R3, and R3 does not permit solar at all. I hope that helps you.
Okay, good.
So what are we agreeing to do to move forward tonight with this? I guess I'm not.
All you're saying is thank you for supplying this. Our planning department has looked at it. It meets a sketch plan. And it is sufficient for you to say, we are referring this application to the planning board. That's all you're doing tonight. And then the planning board takes over and does the heavy lifting. And then it comes back to you to create the law.
Could you elaborate on what the options are?
Oh, sure.
After it has gone through planning board review?
Sure. So the planning board goes through all of this review. And as I said, it's right specifically in the Morrow Code. The planning board has to make either a favorable or an unfavorable report. If they make a favorable report, it comes to you. It also goes to Sarasota County Planning. It goes to your highway department. It goes to the water department. Just to make sure that it would work within the town. They all have time periods to give recommendations. Look at the zoning map and see if it'll work. They give you a favorable recommendation. You are not obligated to abide by it. It is a recommendation. It is not a, this is the condition and a planning board is telling the town about what to do. That's absolutely not what this is. You have the ability to discuss it further. You have the ability to have a public hearing. You have the ability to determine whether the PUD actually does take place. The planning board can also issue an unfavorable decision. And then there's a whole appellate process that goes that the applicant would abide by. So there's a lot that has to be done. There's time periods that has to be done, but these time periods are lengthy. With COVID, they're extended. So you are not bound to do anything. This is not a use that is permitted. You're basically creating a new zoning district solely for one project. You have this, the Nest was one. Bluebird Trace was one. Harrison Quarry was one. I think you might have a lighting one somewhere. I think the lighting district one. Yes, yep. So this is basically something that is completely not in your zoning. The applicant has come and said, we would like you to change the zoning for this project. We've met all the requirements in here. You don't have to abide by that. You can abide by that, but it's down the road. Does that help a little bit?
I think, for the benefit of my colleagues that haven't gone through this exercise before, it's important that they understand that It's an extensive process, and basically the town board drives the process.
Correct.
This is step one.
Is step one.
Yeah.
So we're just hearing the idea then, essentially?
Yes.
Is that really, are we agreeing to, I don't want to get caught on that
call
and we're a point of no return. You know what I'm saying?
No.
This seems like it's going to be a very sensitive idea, maybe, but because we're dealing with solar on parts of town and we've got what appears to be some restrictions maybe coming our way, who knows. I just want to make sure that we approach this in a fair way when looking at this project, that it doesn't get set precedent over something else that we're trying to do. I don't know if that's the right way to look at it.
It is, and I can take some of the pressure off you. Your code requires you to refer it to the planning board if it meets the sketch plan.
Okay.
Mr. Martin has said it meets sketch plan, at least for purposes of tonight.
Right.
You are required to refer it over.
Yes, okay. So tonight's basically an administrative action.
Right.
Okay.
Part of the
that's a little more clear after me. I don't know. So we have a couple from U.S. Light Energy that want to be able to share something.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
So just give me a minute, gentlemen, so you set up to do this. It shouldn't take that long.
appreciate everyone's patience as we gear up our technology to make people who are located elsewhere available for discussion.
Okay, so Mr. Fingar and Mr. Koenig, I believe you have the capabilities to share your screen at this point in time, and for whatever presentation mode that would be. If you click share screen, once you have your presentation up, I'm going to turn this around so we can see you guys too.
How do you get turned around? They won't be able to see us.
I'm just going to turn.
Nope.
Okay. One second. Or you can look at mine too.
I'm happy standing there.
Okay. I don't know if you're. We can't hear any audio, so I don't know if you're speaking yet.
Can you hear me okay?
Now we can, yet maybe you just weren't speaking.
Oh. Yeah, well, good evening, everyone. This is Mike from New West Light Energy. I'm Joe Chittell, I'm Mark Richard, our CEO, and this is Mike from CTL, our engineering partner for this project. Just want to make sure everyone can see my screen okay before I turn it over to Mark Richardson to get started.
Can you see my screen?
Thank you.
You want to share with them? Okay, go ahead.
So I appreciate Mr. Richardson, as Mike pointed out, I'm the CEO of US Light Energy. I appreciate the board taking time to hear this plan you developed application tonight. Just a quick overview of the company. US Light Energy is a community solar project developer that's based in Latham, New York. And we have working towards a solar project in town of Morrell for some time now. We've actually met in front of the town board previously to discuss the merits of this project, and understandably there was some discussion around the town's law and moratorium, etc. So we put our plans on the back burner until now, and we feel like we have come up with a solution that would not only be beneficial to the community in terms of the community solar projects, but also beneficial to the community in terms of the proposal to donate a large portion of this parcel to the town for their use, and that would be obviously up to the town to craft a use plan for the remainder of the property, but. That's the very basic tenets of this. And so I appreciate that we have the time to try and keep this as brief as we can, and obviously opening up any questions that you may have. But it also sounds as though the board and the zoning officer has had a chance to review this. So if it's largely administrative, we don't want to take up too much of your evening. So without any further ado, I'll turn it back over to Mike Fingar. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mark. Before your colleague begins, I just want to ask for clarification from the town attorney. Typically, when municipalities get involved with a planned unit development, there has to be a component where the town benefits from that action.
That's absolutely true.
Right. So what I'm hearing tonight, what I've seen in the proposal is that a good portion of the acreage you just committed to providing to the town for its use as it determines down the road if this project were to be approved. Is that a fair characterization, Mark?
Yes, it is. Exactly.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Mike Fingar, Chief Operating Officer of US Light Energy. We're here tonight to present a planned unit development for a community solar project in the town of Morrell. For those of you that are unfamiliar with community solar, it's an array of solar panels installed in an ideal location. And for us, that is a relatively desirable site from a land perspective of treated, untreated area with a viable utility. energy produced on site, and that is a significant portion of the property that we're proposing to donate to the town for use and use of it. That is visible on the screen, the blue hatched area, totaling about 91 acres. In addition to that, we're planning to use about 66 acres of that to actually place our community solar project itself. And right now, we have compiled documents that we feel meets the town's requirements for this PUD, and we'd like to present this for the board's consideration, as the attorney suggested, to refer to the planning board and get your thoughts on our proposal. With that, I would like to introduce you to Chris Comey from CTML, our selected engineering partner for this project, to describe a little bit about the documents we have prepared for the board and how we see that we've met the town's requirements so far.
Thanks, Mike, and nice to meet everyone on the Rural Town Board. Thanks for having us today. In December 4th, 2020, we submitted an application package to the town board, which included a PUD sketch plan, which is what you see now. We also submitted a PUD site location map, and Mike, if you could please click on attachment 2. This map shows the existing parcel layouts and the adjoining property ownership, just to give some context to the area that's proposed for development. This site's kind of interesting, as you'll see. Actually, National Grid owns a linear parcel that kind of bisects the site. So it essentially splits the parcel acreage into two halves. So while it looks like there's five parcels, there's actually only three parcels. So kind of an interesting parcel layout. We can get more into that later. The next thing we submitted was the Part 1 full environmental assessment form with the appropriate attachments. This form was filled out with great consideration to the project and its potential environmental impacts for the this would be more of an under the purview of the planning board for them to review this as they do routinely for many different projects. But we feel that this encompasses project impacts and just really provides a great background on some of the metrics of the project for your reference. Next, we submitted a site plan set of 14 sheets, which includes kind of an overall existing conditions survey at the beginning, and then kind of transitions into the proposed solar array layout for, I guess we would call it a permanent approval drawing set, not construction drawings yet, but certainly enough to show to scale where things are placed and vertical infrastructure, solar panels, things like that, so roadways. Next, we submitted a copy of the available deed as required, and we also submitted the Moreau site plan review application form. And the reason why we did that was because we submitted our initial package to meet the requirements of not only the PUD sketch plan, but also of the preliminary site plan application and the subdivision sketch plan. So really it's three separate submissions kind of as one push. I think we wanted to get all the information we had out to the various boards, and you know, we're aware that this would be a coordinated effort between the town board and the planning board. So we wanted to get out our site plan review application as well as the subdivision sketch plan as well, because we are proposing lot line adjustments to create three different parcels out of the three existing parcels. So that kind of provides an overview of what you have, and I'm happy to get into more details about some of the site metrics. I think this plan shows kind of the general overview of the PUD districting, which is essentially the town board's responsibility to essentially rezone the property to a PUD use, or a PUD district rather. And this drawing doesn't provide engineering plans. This provides sort of a land use concept where the Blue House share area on the northern end of the property is the proposed 92 acres of dedicated land to the town, which accounts for approximately 45% of the 203 acres total. The remaining two parcels will accommodate the solar arrays. So that's kind of the overview of the project, and happy to take any questions from the board.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Before I turn it over to the board for questions, I did just want to add a little more detail on the interconnection. So energy produced on site will be participating in New York State's community solar program. That energy will be injected into National Grid's existing distribution system, and that energy will go through, connect to the Butler Road substation. So that's National Grid substation located just south of the town's landfill. So we'll be looking to connect these projects to the existing circuit that runs along Adams Road in the western direction. And with that, I would just ask if the board has any questions that we may be able to answer for you.
Thank you. Appreciate everyone's description of the project. The first question that comes to my mind is based on the last comment of where the interconnect is going to occur on Spire Falls. My understanding is that in that type of interconnect, there's actually a cap on the availability of how much can be transmitted back into the line. Is that accurate for that substation area? Is there a limit?
That is accurate. And that capacity is ultimately determined by National Grid. I can say with a pretty high degree of confidence that the circuit, the three-phase circuit on this particular road that goes between the site and the substation, is essentially at its capacity with these two projects that are queued up in National Grid's application process. That limits capacity on the circuit. It still leaves capacity at the substation for a couple of more projects, likely. But that ultimate capacity will be determined by National Grid, and at what point that may trigger substantial increases that deter other projects from trying to come online.
Yeah, and Mike, I would just add to that National Grid obviously makes the determination there, but there is also a physical limitation based on the size of the equipment that's already installed and the capacity of the equipment, including the voltage level of that distribution circuit, which, as Mike pointed out, at 32 kV, 10 megawatts is the practical limit of that circuit capacity for the Reynolds Road. The circuit runs down Reynolds Road and connects to Buffalo Road substation.
Thanks, Mark. Any board members have questions?
I have a question, and I know it's maybe something I've been thinking about for a while, not just with this project, but I've been hearing the word community solar, community, community, community. I know you talked briefly about it at the beginning, but I guess I always fall back to this one question that I want to ask. When you use the word community, what is, besides what the PUB offers for recreational spaces, what is the benefit to the community when we use the word community? In a project like this, are we receiving is there a financial gain for residents or the town or the community with a project like this, or what classifies it as a community solar project? Because the word community it's a big word, and I really want to know what it means to a project like this.
But I would say I appreciate that question correctly. I think it's a great question. And I would agree that the word community implies a lot of things. And one of the things that U.S. Light Energy is actually very interested in and committed to is providing a true community benefit for these projects. I can tell you that in the most literal sense, the term community solar very specifically refers to the program under the Public Service Commission that allows a solar project to share its output amongst many members. So in the very literal sense, that is the definition of a community solar project. In New York State, the membership or participation in a community solar project is limited to those customers that are within a particular utility territory. So just to give some context to that, when community solar first started, it was limited to many cases the geographic radius. Early on, the New York program was actually limited to the load zone with which the project was in. And New York State has since expanded that to include the entire utility territory. So in this case, community technically is the entirety of the national grid, the customer base, who could potentially participate in it. Now, as Mike said, there's a practical limit to the number of customers that a project of this size can serve, and it's roughly 1,300. So the ideal situation would be to have a subscription drive that would focus on the local community and get people to subscribe to community solar, because there is a financial benefit, there's a savings from compared to retail energy prices by subscribing to community solar. There's ancillary benefits, obviously, of decarbonizing our electric power production. And but in many cases too, there's also a tangible benefit in terms of revenue. It creates a tax base. These projects oftentimes enter into a pilot agreement. They are technically exempt under Real Property Law 487 for property taxes, but we like to be good neighbors. And in this case, we feel that the donation of very nearly 100 acres of property is obviously a tangible benefit. So I hope that answers your question. If you'd like me to elaborate on any of that, I'm happy to do that.
No, thank you very much. I just thank you. That's good.
Thank you, Mark. Any other board questions or comments at this time? this is an administrative action which we're required to do by local law.
Correct.
We would need a motion to refer this to the planning board for the necessary review. If the board's home would like to move that.
Make a motion to move this over to the planning board for necessary review.
Motion to refer.
Motion to refer, sorry. To the planning board for necessary review.
Second, any additional discussion? I just want to add under discussion that there's no doubt that this project, when it comes back to the town board, will be highly discussed in detail. I don't want there to be a misconception that we just rubber stamp something tonight without giving its due. We're just following procedure that will bring it eventually back before us, where at that time we'll do the necessary vetting that our residents expect us to do.
And so everyone's aware, the public will have two opportunities to speak. There's a public hearing at the planning board and then a public hearing at the town board.
Correct, yes. All right, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion hearing none. The motion carries unanimously.
So, gentlemen, that I have made co-hosts, if you actually could, I think I can take that from my end, but if you want to stay on the call, please do not hit end the meeting for all, because right now your co-host is with us, so give me 1 second.
That would be problematic.
Well,
but it would get us out of here. So
if I may ask a question to the town council. We submitted the Part 1 EAF, and the town code doesn't mention secret action. Is that something that would be under the purview of the planning board review, the initiation of coordinated review and secret?
Yeah, generally the planning board would be the lead agency on this one.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, everyone, for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Welcome.
Bye.
Goodbye. Let's see. I'm just going to put that on this.
So at this time, we will continue through the agenda. We're on item 10, which is supervisor item. We'll just have a few briefly. At the next board meeting, I'll get this to the board members for review prior to that. We have been asked by representatives of Saratoga Plan to endorse a farm conservation plan, project, I should say, which would essentially preserve approximately 77 acres on Mako, where they would essentially purchase the development rights on, meaning that the property could never be developed into the future. And the good thing about that is about 47 of those acres, or 61% of the parcel, is actively farmed, which they're seeking to preserve. And the Barber Brothers large dairy farm in the town of Northumberland, which currently expanded to the town of Monroe, or recently expanded, included in that acreage is about 23 acres of prime soils and about 6 acres of statewide importance, and another 41 acres of prime farmland if it is drained soils. So this is something that Saratoga Plan is looking for basically a resolution of support as they move through that process. I think it's a great idea. We'll be ask the board to consider it at the next board meeting. The next item I have is to update the board and the public. This is from New York State DOT in relation to the emergency bridge repairs, which have required road closures on Route 4 over the Hudson River between Greenwich and Northumberland. When they started the work, it looks like it's going to require additional work to get it where it's got to be. And they wanted to make us aware that, well, it says that in the course of recent work, a number of additional repair needs were discovered. Under the updated plan, and this is update number 5, the closure detour will continue, and the contractor will add Saturdays to its weekday efforts. The goal, barring slowdown to the major snowstorms, being to have everything completed and the bridge reopened by Monday, January 25th. So stay tuned for that. I received a heartfelt thank you from the friends of Ulysses S. Grant Cottage. As many know and others do not know, that cottage is located in the town of Moreau. Is where President Grant, former President Grant, wrote his memoirs. And the town of Moreau includes, along with the town of Wilton, because they own property, there's property on the site that's in the town of Wilton. Each of our municipalities help support the cottage's efforts for preservation. We provide support to the tune of $5,500 annually, and we get a very nice thank you, which the board is now happy to certainly share it with them, thanking the town of Moreau for our efforts, and best wishes for the holidays. So that was very nice. And the last item I have is a notice from Crandall Library in relation to a change in library service starting Saturday, January 2nd. Just briefly, it says, dear patron, through the increasing number of COVID cases, the library will be returning to curbside only services starting Saturday, January 2nd. And the new hours for curbside pickup appointments will be Tuesdays and Thursdays, 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., Wednesdays 10 to 6 p.m., and Fridays 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. And that is all I have on supervisor items, committee reports. Any committee reports this evening?
Not much of a report, but I know I recently spoke with Nick Bodkin from the village. we discussed the water agreement in the past, the municipal water agreement, and he's reminding me that it's going to be coming up for discussion again soon, so it's something that we'll dust off and take a look at that language and see what it says for this year. But I think their project went pretty smooth, and I think they're still trying to get their own source of water, so their reliance on us will be, I'm thinking, significantly less.
Great. Thank you for updating on that.
Sure.
Recreation. The ice rink is open. Before using it.
Excellent. Any other reports?
Transfer station. There's some concerns from a few of the employees I talked to down there about the number of people in and out of the booth because of the COVID concerns. I talked to John about before the meeting. I'm going to touch base with Ted down there to try to minimize people coming in and out of there as much as we can. What John talked about, what they even talked about, everybody testing in there, punch out, punch out for lunch in the morning. And think about maybe 9 o'clock perhaps or something. But John had the suggestion is that we're looking for Wi-Fi and stuff, and then we'll be able to go to the left round of time, clock type things, so that'll take care of that situation. But I'm going to talk to Ted and see what he can do on his end, just to minimize people coming in and out of there, just to protect people. As you know, you can't be 6 feet away from people in that booth. You just can't. There's not 6 feet in there. So I'm gonna stop seeing Ted Thursday and until we get the 9 o'clock situation taken care of, try to minimize the number of people going in and out of there.
Great. Yeah, thank you for working on that. And before I head to the county, I think I got an update that the individual that we authorized to remove some of the compost, I should call it comp. Leaves and debris and stuff. I took some mold out today.
Yeah, apparently it was up to possibly for.
Which is really
back in the morning.
Right. And this isn't the stuff that's ready, it's already composted.
It's just leaves and debris.
Exactly. Which
is stuff that's been brought in the morning for sure.
Right. Right. And so that's great because that'll give us a little
bit. I cleared up some room down there. It is mold.
Any other committee meeting or committee report? If not, unfortunately, I will have to ask for an executive session. We have two items to discuss. The first one is in relation to terms of the contract for a land transfer. And oh, that's right. And the other will be to discuss potential settlement and ongoing litigation that involves the town.
So,
second. All in favor?
Aye. Right.
Motion carries unanimous. So we'll have to shut down.
Yes.
Correct.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
And we have two items that we'd like to take action on. The first one is in relation to the purchase of the land that the board previously agreed to expand our recreational land holding off of Port Edward Road. And that would require a survey as part of that process to ensure that the town is working to get what we thought we were agreeing to purchase. And we have received two quotes. The first one is for the amount of $7,000 from Russ Howard, and then we have a second quote in the range of $10,000 to $12,000 from Van Dusen and Steves, with the caveat that it may be as high as $14,000 to $15,000 should prevailing wage be required. And I believe the board would like to move forward with the lower amount. If so, would someone like to move that?
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Get that, yes.
Yes.
And the second item that we discussed was the litigation settlement. And I'll just ask the council to briefly.
lawsuit brought against the town for personal injuries about 5 years ago. The lawsuit has been successfully defended by insurance counsel, and at this point there was a global settlement where the town would submit a nominal amount of $1,500 payable by the insurance carrier. It was a cost-benefit to this termination.
So we'll need a resolution moving that.
Let's make a motion to approve the settlement agreement, the $200 payment from insurance.
Yeah. It's for Coulter versus Town of Morrow, Commercial Paving, Michael's Group, Gary Robinson, and Environmental Design Partnership.
Do I have to amend that?
No, that's part of it.
Okay. So.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Yes. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Other business. Any board members have any other business at this time? If not, entertain a motion to adjourn this evening.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, everyone. Appreciate those that tuned in and board members that
I didn't hear you.
No important sessions, right?
Yeah.
I think Carl.
No court.
Up here, sit next to me.
No court, Al.
You gotta be present to defend your honor. I mean, that's the way it goes.